Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill is with me. And we're very pleased to welcome our longtime colleague, Nuri Turkel. Nuri is significant informant about the fate of the Uyghur peoples of Xinjiang, East Turkestan. Nuri is co-founder of the Uyghur Human Rights Project. Also, importantly, he's a commissioner of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. Nuri, because we are one more time flabbergasted at the conduct of the People's Republic of China in the face of international condemnation, I read this fact. The United States State Department and the parliaments of Canada and the Netherlands have determined that China's conduct also constitutes genocide under international law. Genocide. That is the ultimate condemnation of a sovereign state. Genocide. The new Biden administration, taking some time to get organized, developing policies. So far, have you seen from the Biden administration significant policies that speak to genocide? Policies across the board, not just on the matter of the State Department, but on the matter of, say, climate or trade or the Olympics. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Thank you for having me on. And I appreciate your continued report of these atrocities committed in the daylight against the Uyghurs and others in Xi Jinping's China. The Biden administration from January 19th publicly been saying things such as the United States will do everything to stop the slave labor-produced products coming to the United States and stop U.S. technology going to facilitate, either wittingly or unwittingly, the ongoing genocidal campaign. That was already in the works by the previous administration. To date, counting both the policy announcements or decisions made by both Trump and Biden administration, there are about 75 actions been taken. That includes global Magnitsky sanction. That includes sanctioning of individuals, entities, as well as the visa restriction, and also putting an export ban on several Chinese entities. So all the policy decision has been made. And I think that one other thing that they need to make announcement or move as fast as possible is the Olympic, Winter Olympics. The longer this debate continues, however healthy that debate is, the beneficial to the Chinese authorities to continue the genocidal campaign. We have to go bold, tiptoeing around, doing playing a word game back and forth, as some governments did, is not going to help. This is about us. This is about U.S. government and our traditional partners and allies to come together to address this statewide slavery that the world is continuing to buying. The China's continued breach of its international obligation under the treaties that they signed on. And also it's about the threat to civil liberties and democratic freedom around the world. This is not staying within the China sphere. This has been expanded. We need to make a full stop on this. We already seen the erosion, upending democratic freedom in Hong Kong. The question is, who's next?
Gordon, you have a question for Nuri.
Nuri, Beijing is going to field the team at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, as well as the Winter Olympics in Beijing. Do you expect that there'll be many Uyghur, Kazakh, Kyrgyz athletes? And the reason why I ask the question is because in 1963, the International Olympic Committee banned participation by South Africa in Olympic competition because a significant portion of the South African population was not permitted to participate in sport. It seems to me we've got the same situation right now with the Turkic minorities. What do you see in terms of the numbers of Uyghurs and others on China's Olympic teams?
I don't have any confidence in the current regime in Beijing doing the right thing. They are belligerent. They're a bunch of bullies. You know, they've been acting out in some ways, saying things like Xinjiang, what they call Uyghur's homeland, is beautiful. Therefore, there's no genocide. That's what they have, at best in their justification in their public statements. So I have no confidence. And also knowing, the racist history of the CCP, I would be hard pressed to even imagine that the athletes from Tibet, East Turkestan, the Uyghurs and Tibetan people were very good, so as the Mongolians in sports activities. The Uyghurs are probably some of the best soccer players in the whole, PRC. Sphere. And also the Uyghurs are very good at other traditional sports, basketball, volleyball. But I don't think, based on what we know, since the state sponsors of violence started against Uyghur people, even somebody who was glorifying the Chinese soccer team end up spending time in a concentration camp. So I would be hard pressed to believe even that China will do what the reasonable people will ask, allowing non-Han Chinese individuals to participate. We have seen this movie before. The Hitler excluded Jewish athletes in the 1936 Olympics. We've seen this movie before, in the practice of Hitler. He used the 1936 to normalize his regime. 3 years later, he invaded Europe. Are we going to see, should we worry about Xi Jinping invading Taiwan after this? I think that's a legitimate question, a reasonable question to ask and discuss broadly.
Nuri, what is the quality and quantity of information coming out of Xinjiang? Are there good sources that you can point to, or is it fog of genocide?
It's not a fog of genocide. At least four of the five legal requirements for genocide under the Genocide Convention meets the Chinese conduct against the Uyghurs, or China's atrocities against the Uyghurs. The information that we have on the forced sterilization, prevention of Uyghur population growth, just 25% in the year 2019 alone, was relied based on the open source information that the China has, bragging about how successful that they are or have been preventing Uyghur population growth. That is one of the legal requirements. And also the other one is also very significant. Through their propaganda documentaries, public statements, they were bragging about the Uyghur kids being sent to quote-unquote boarding school. Those boarding schools are a children's concentration camp. We're talking about 500,000 to 800,000 Uyghur children being sent to or separated from their families and sent to the children's concentration camps. And three, they are in the slow motion killing of the Uyghurs. You don't have to engage in mass killing. Some people falsely claiming that is the key requirement. And also we have sexual violence victims been testifying from the United States, from Europe, and from Central Asia about very similar pattern of practice. If you even coach them, they will not be that consistent. They don't even know each other. They've been testifying publicly, sharing their gruesome experience. In one instance, a U.S.-based camp survivor said that she was hardly able to move, and yet masked three, four gangsters in the concentration camp raped her. So rape, sexual violence against individuals is one of the most effective methods that the perpetrators use in a genocidal campaign, in addition to the demonization, dehumanization, and the focusing and targeting children and women. So where do I begin? This is a clear case. This is not some opinion leaders discussing it is or it is not. This is a policy decision, political decision made by Secretary Pompeo and endorsed by Secretary Blinken. This is a bipartisan decision. United States government does not make this kind of decision lightly. This is just the sixth time since the U.S. ratified the Genocide Convention in 1988, doing something similar. Let's don't forget, this is, you know, anyone who think, who mistakenly believe that the United States is playing with fire or politicizing the Uyghur genocide is wrong, because country as such as ours have an intimate economic relationship with PRC, would not put itself in this kind of situation. It is for political position. Why do we do this? Because this is what Americans do, speaking out when this kind of crimes committed against religious ethnic minority. This is about American values. This is what our country stands for. So anyone who's trying to minimize the effect of this or try to politicize by saying that so-and-so that made a political decision is dead wrong.
Nuri Turco, Commissioner on the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.